This reading is taken from the letter to the Romans by Paul, and it's reading from verse 13 to 17. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How, then, can they call upon them who they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless someone is sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Pearl. Just before those verses in Romans 10, there's this verse. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then we just heard, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Is that good news?
Yeah.
Some of you aren't so sure. If we speak out the truth, if we believe it deep down in our hearts, our eternal destiny is secured. We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from the consequences of sin. We're saved for a purposeful life on earth. We're saved for the glory of heaven. Is that something to get excited about?
Yes.
Oh, good. Well, our primary focus this morning isn't so much on our salvation, the incredible consequence of putting our trust in Jesus, but on that of others. Now, I could preach a sermon on sharing our faith with others for about 15 to 20 minutes, and by the end of it, you'd probably mainly feel pretty inadequate and guilty. Well, I'm desperate to avoid that this morning, so we're taking a slightly different approach to challenge and encourage us. We're going to make it quite interactive as we go in different ways. Partly prompted by a debate on a blog site I subscribe to day by day, which has been talking about the relative merits of preaching as monologue, where you've got some so-called expert up here waffling on for 20 minutes, and you're hopefully taking something at least in, and the relative benefits of dialogue, where there's more discussion come back from the congregation. So be warned, you may have to talk to each other at some point, and possibly even feedback. Let's pray, just as we get into Scripture here. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful good news which is proclaimed in this passage. And Lord, it is something to get excited about. And it's something that we know we're called to share, but we acknowledge we don't always find that easy. So we pray that you'll give us fresh courage this morning and that you'll speak to us by your Spirit, through your word, and through one another. Amen. Bringing up the first slide up, Johnny, it just reminds us of Paul's series of questions in Romans 10 in verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul likes his questions, and he's quick to identify a process by which people come to a saving faith. If you turned those questions round, this would be the scope of his argument. On the next slide. People are sent out to preach. We are called to take the good news of Jesus to others. We are sent to proclaim, to preach that good news to those who do not know God. As a result, people hear about God. Our prayer is that through that they might come to believe as they hear the word of God proclaimed, and that they too might call on the name of the Lord and experience his saving love and power. Before we think about that a little bit more, I want to show us a brief video clip. There's an organisation called Barna who did some research. They did a big survey middle of last year, interviewed about 3,500 people in total, and asked people a little bit about their attitudes to Jesus and also on their relationship to Christians. And so we're going to have a look at this, and then we will be talking to one another and reflecting on what we see, things that strike us from this brief 2-minute clip.
What do people outside our churches know about Jesus? Have they ever had a conversation with a practicing Christian about Jesus? Answers to questions like these could really help us share the most amazing news: the love of God for all of us through Jesus. So we asked, and here's what people, your friends and neighbours, said. 57% said they're a Christian. 9% are active Christians. They regularly go to church, pray and read the Bible. Useful starting place. But what do they actually know about Jesus? 21% think he's God, while 30% think he's a spiritual leader or prophet. But only 60% think he was an actual, real, historical person. Our job here is clear. Let's make sure everyone gets to hear that Jesus actually lived and walked on earth, and that he claimed he was God. How are we going to do this? Well, 67% said they know one of us, an active follower of Jesus, and we're most likely to be their family and friends. But have we ever spoken to them about Jesus? 58% of those who know us have had a conversation about Jesus with us. Now that's a great start. But what do they think about Jesus after that conversation? 1 in 5 are open to knowing and experiencing more about him. That's 1 in 5 of your friends and family members, the people you know really well, who are waiting for you to talk about Jesus with them. And we found out that talking to someone who knows Jesus was really important in helping 36% of us decide to follow Jesus for ourselves. So let's talk Jesus.
I get the feeling the narrator of that video had a train to catch or something. It seemed in a little bit of a hurry. But one or two of the stats that came out of that. 50% of people in England identifying as Christians. 9% actually practicing their faith. 40% of people do not realise that Jesus was a real person who actually lived. And there's another stat that didn't come out there, but 1 in 4 18 to 34 year olds, that younger generation, think that Jesus was a mythical or a fictional character. 2/3 of practicing Christians have talked about Jesus to a non-Christian in the past month. And 44% of practicing Christians credit their friends for introducing them to Jesus. Why don't we just turn to the person next to us or someone just behind us and just reflect. You know, what strikes us about those particular findings? Anything you find surprising? Anything you find interesting? Just for 2 minutes. Okay, there'll be opportunity to talk some more later on. Not going to get any feedback on that particular question, but hopefully it's been interesting just hearing each other's perspectives. I think we're aware, aren't we, that the level of Christian literacy in this country is alarmingly low at this time. There's lots of interest in spirituality, we're told, but quite a lack of awareness of who Jesus actually is and what he did. And we've got a generation growing up who, on the whole, haven't been to Sunday school, get very limited Christian teaching in school. And when they do get the Christian teaching, it tends to be more around values, or it tends to be more issue-based than it is actually around the life and teaching of Jesus. Young people growing up are less likely to have much Christian influence within their families. And so that presents a very real challenge to us as believers. As Paul wrote, how can they believe in one of whom they have not heard? The significance of that hit home to me a couple of weeks ago when I took a funeral for a family whose 16-year-old daughter had died of meningitis. I don't know how much she'd heard the good news. But we are the sent out ones. We have the privilege of knowing Christ and his saving power. But will we share it? It's one of the six M's of LICC that we've focused on at different points over these last couple of years. The messengers of the gospel. We are messengers of the gospel. And if it really is good news, how can we keep it to ourselves? And yet we often do. I love that image of Paul's. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Next slide, Johnny. Oh, maybe it's jammed. Okay, I'll keep talking. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news? Joe asked that question. I wonder whether we consider ourselves to have beautiful feet. In Paul's day, well before social media, satellites, TV, radio, the internet, a big news story would be carried by a herald, a messenger. And that person might have to walk for hours, maybe even days, to get news of a triumph in battle or some other newsworthy event from one town to another. Their feet would be dirty and smelly and aching physically, but the role was crucial and greatly appreciated. That herald had beautiful feet. And we have good news to share. Good news not to be kept to ourselves, because our feet are to take us to family members, to friends, to our work colleagues, to our neighbours, to our teammates, that we might herald what God has done. And maybe we're woefully aware of our own inadequacies, the equivalent of calluses and bunions and athlete's foot and fungal infection and ingrowing toenails, and we don't feel worthy of being messengers. But in God's eyes, warts and all, we're fully worthy and have beautiful feet. And we have good news to share. We don't need to have a degree in God speak to speak it, to share it. But how do we do it? Well, there's always the direct approach. One of the leaders on our youth camps, a guy called Brian, he's a vicar down in Worthing, he's in his early 60s. And he became a Christian through the youth camps back in 1970-ish. At a place called Limpsfield in Surrey. And a couple of years ago, a group cycled from Hazelmere, where we currently hold our camps, to Limpsfield, which is about 50 miles. And there must have been a group of about 8 or 10 folks cycling. And they arrived at Limpsfield, and Limpsfield was the school where we used to meet, but it got sold off and is now luxury retirement apartments. I haven't been allowed in yet, but apparently they're very nice. And so the cyclists got to Limpsfield, and they had to, you know, ring the bell to be able to enter through the gated community and be in the car park there. And then they were, you know, just getting off their bikes, and various people were looking out the windows and coming out wondering who these strange people were. And a couple of people came out, and Brian is always very forward and fairly forceful. So this random person he'd never met before, he said to him, Can you let me into your apartment? Can you give me a bit of a tour of the school? I want to show you where 40 years ago I got down on my knees and I committed my life to Jesus as my Lord and Saviour. Now that's the direct approach. Now Brian is an evangelist. We need more evangelists. We need people who will be direct with the gospel in that way. But some of us, when we hear that story, we think, no way. That is just not my style. And it's not the British way. What can we do then? How can we share the good news? Well, lots of different ways. Here's just two. We can bring God's perspective on things going on around us, which can open up conversation. And so we've got the EU debate going on. If we're talking with others, we can share how faith informs our viewpoint in the face of so much vitriol and one-upmanship. We can bring a reasoned perspective. And who knows, people might ask that question, well, why do you believe that? Well, we may say, it's because of my faith in Jesus that I believe X, Y, Z. As we respond to the atrocities in Orlando or the murder of Joe Cox, as we wrestle with and express perspectives on love, on acceptance, on mercy, on tolerance, on a sense of justice in the face of terrible atrocities. The attitudes we bring aren't the sole domain of Christians, but when we express those attitudes in line with God's values, opportunities to speak of faith sometimes come. And then perhaps our greatest gift is our own experience. We can share what God has done in our lives. People like to hear story, the reality of everyday experience. We can speak of a transformation that he has brought. And the great thing about our own experience is that it's our own experience. People might be cynical, but they can't deny what we have personally encountered. And so if God has brought peace, we can talk about it. If God has brought hope, we can express it. If God has brought healing, we can share it. I realise I've just started preaching again, so let's hear a different voice. Jane Harding, do come and join me. It's always good to hear about people's experience. So Jane got press ganged earlier in the week. Hopefully that's on. Yep, sounds like it. Tell us a little bit, Jane, about how you came to faith in Christ.
So when I read your question, I decided to write it down. Because I've done this kind of thing before, and I always walk away thinking, I missed that out, or I said that wrong, or whatever. So I've written it down. I can't really remember a time when I wasn't aware of God in my life. Probably up to the age of about 18 or 19, though, I was quite ambivalent about how much I let him into my life or how much of a part of my life he was. And then I had an experience when I was about 19 years old. And it was not long after I'd started work. And I was working in town. And one day it snowed very heavily. And it was so bad and it was coming in so quickly that they said at work that we could leave early. And as things were, and as it was getting so bad, the buses were all cancelled, the traffic was at a standstill, and at the time, I was living in Keynsham. I didn't really know anyone who I could ask to stay in town, and really, I had no kind of way of getting home. I didn't really know what to do. Of course, there were no mobiles in those days, so, you know, once I decided to leave the building, that was going to be it. So I just phoned my parents to say I was going to start walking home, which might not sound a big deal, but actually I'd had quite a sheltered upbringing in some ways, and it was quite a big thing for me, particularly as my mum promptly had a canary on the spot and dispatched my dad off to find me. My poor dad managed to get about 200 yards in Keynsham with his car before he, you know, went into a curb or something and had to stop. But anyway, it was quite a big deal. So off I started, walking on my own. Never done anything like that before. I was dreading it a bit. It was dark, it was freezing cold, and it was snowing really heavily. And I wasn't really sure of what I was doing when I set off. But I prayed because God was in my life, and I prayed because I didn't know what else to do. I was kind of on my own. And my story is that literally 2.5 or maybe 3 or whatever it was hours later, I found myself arrived at my dad's stranded car. And all I can say was that that day I'd had an unseen companion with me, spurring me on, helping me, surrounding me in love and protection and all those things. And I look back on it now, and to me, I can identify that as my first experience of the Holy Spirit. I arrived there, I wasn't frightened, I wasn't cold, I was at any point despairing, I just kept trudging on. And the little end bit to the story is that I felt so much this unseen companion or whatever it was, I felt so much that I went to see the pastor of my church the next day and said, I want to get baptized. And his name was Bob, and he was about to move to a new post at another church. And when I told him that I wanted to get baptized, he smiled the biggest smile at me and said that God had told him that he had one more very welcome surprise before he left Keynsham Baptist Church. And I apparently was the surprise.
Wow, brilliant.
So that is my story. The rest is history.
So all these years later, tell us what you do for a day job and how God has given you opportunities to talk about him in that environment.
I work at Abbeywood Community School, which used to be Filton High. And I specifically work in the resource base, which is an inclusion unit for children with speech and language and communication difficulties, which mostly is children on the autistic spectrum, but not completely. We have other children with SEN. And I'm the Year 10 Inclusion Coordinator, which is a vastly varied job, lots of different things, organising TA support, meeting parents, meeting health professionals. I mean, our days can range from picking up, going to houses to pick up children who are refusing to come to school, to, I don't know, blowing noses nearly, even though it's a senior school, to helping in a GCSE class. It's massively varied. It's quite difficult in school, I'll be honest, to talk about faith, because you are a little bit governed by, you know, expectations on not brainwashing or whatever young people. And in my years at Abbeywood, I've found that the most impact I can have is when I talk to parents, because I've been surprised that when I've met with a couple of parents that have been distraught usually for something that's problem that's going on with their child, and they've shared with me that they're a Christian, and that's mostly where I've been able to have an impact. I work with some staff that are Christian, so that's quite nice. With the students, I got to be honest, I can't really directly talk to them, but I do find that the way I behave and the things I don't do or don't say are as important when witnessing to the young people as the things I do say.
And what about the colleagues who aren't Christians? It takes you away from your script, I know, but...
No, it's okay. People do ask me, and then I get a mixed reaction when they sort of want me to say that I'm just a churchgoer. If I start talking about Jesus, actually, I get a mixed reaction. Sometimes it's embarrassment.
That's interesting, isn't it? Do you think it's easier to talk about church than it is about Jesus?
Definitely. And I also think, strangely enough, in the workplace in this day and age, people look at you with less embarrassment and surprise if you say, I'm going to have my palm read, or I'm going to have my tea leaves read, or I'm going to some, I don't know, spiritualist thing, than if you say, I'm a Christian, I go to church, I pray. They think that's all weird and a bit awkward. But if you say any of those other spiritual things, that people seem to be more open to it. So it's quite difficult, but, you know, there we are.
And how do you see God using you in terms of sharing faith? And
Well, I've definitely been used with these parents that I talked about. But for me, I find it easiest to share my faith on things like Alpha and Puzzling Questions, I'll be honest, where people have already got a little bit of an interest. I do find it quite hard to do it cold. It is quite difficult. I'm not one of these people who prepares what I'm going to say. If somebody asks me, I have to send off a few panic arrow prayers and hope that, you know, what's going to come out is okay, because I don't really plan it, but yeah.
Brilliant. And there's that verse, isn't there, in 1 Peter, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have. And I guess it's that preparedness just to be there and to take that opportunity as it comes. Thanks, Jane. It's really appreciated. It'd be good just to reflect on that in twos and threes. So there's a couple of questions here to think about. Perhaps if you could share with one another one way in which God has worked in your life since becoming a Christian, or if you wouldn't identify yourself as a Christian, the way in which you see God working in the lives of Christians around you. And then the second question, how do you feel about talking about Jesus with those around you? You know, Jane was honest that, you know, she finds it easier in some situations than in others. So just want to reflect on those couple of questions together, and then we'll take one or two little bits of feedback after that. So again, just 2 or 3 minutes.
Okay, plenty of conversations going on. I hope they'll continue over coffee later on. And I hope that was actually a positive experience, an encouraging experience, hearing something of people's stories. Is anyone willing to share just a tiny incident or a reflection on something that you've spoken about? It'd be really good just to hear from two or three people at least. Go on, be brave. I was really encouraged from one of the stories I heard of God at work.
It's not my story, it's Pat's, because I listened to her. But it's so lovely on that. I hope you don't mind if I tell people. But Pat's granddaughter was desperate to have a baby. And last year, Pat was given word from Jesus that her granddaughter would have a baby and it would be a girl. And she's put this in an envelope. And she's now 29 weeks pregnant. Not Pat, but yeah. Yeah, that would be a miracle. And after the birth, she's going to give this to her granddaughter as proof that Jesus spoke to her and spoke into her life, and evidence that Jesus exists. So that's a really good story.
Brilliant, that's fantastic, isn't it? And that's a story of faith, and a story that will have ongoing impact, we trust, on that family's lives. Someone else, share. Back that way. Jan, thank you.
I'm doing my own, not Miriam's. Basically, Paul, I embarrassed you, first of all, because I was telling Miriam about how when Nick was ill, you came to visit him and you brought him to faith. So I was telling Miriam about that's where I can see God in my life. And obviously more recently, doing the work that we're doing in Africa, that's all God's work. Or through God's being.
Brilliant. Thanks, Jan. Anyone else? How about the left-hand side of the church? Or how did you respond to the second question? You know, how do you actually feel about talking about Jesus with those around you? Imagine there was a real mix of responses there. Anita.
We were just reflecting about how difficult it is to use the name of Jesus without feeling worried, but I was just thinking how it says that there is power in the name of Jesus. So as well as more risk, there's also more power in it. So, you know, we could maybe reflect on that when we're choosing a safer word like church or even God. Why not, you know, I'm talking to myself here, why not try using the name of Jesus sometimes and just taking that step of faith, because the more we can release of God's power, the better.
Thank you. I think that's something really important to reflect on. And I know for myself, you know, if I'm playing cricket on a Saturday and talking to the guys over a drink afterwards, I'm far more likely to use the word church than I am Jesus in that conversation. And that's probably true for quite a lot of us. But as Anita said, you know, the power of Jesus' name and the transformation he brings. Alan.
Talking about the name of Jesus, sometimes we're very apologetic regarding our faith, and we do talk about God, but we very often miss out the name of Jesus. So, and I thought it was wonderful when we heard the news about Cliff Richard this week. Wonderful that his name is cleared. And years and years ago, when he was with the Billy Graham Crusade, he used the word God many, many times, and he was challenged about this. And when he went to his local church, he heard about, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And from then on, he kept using the word Jesus. And he said, my life took on as a Christian because of the name of Jesus. And as Anita just said, it's very true that there is great power in that name of Jesus. And really, we should not be afraid, because God does take over.
Thank you, Alan. And I think, you know, just as we finish, aware of time, one of the things that struck me again from the passage was the fact that it's, you know, it's our role. I switched to the other mic.
our role is to take the message. We're the sent ones. It's actually, you know, God's role in terms of what happens after that. You know, God is the one who by his Spirit convicts people and draws them to himself. And we say this quite a bit with our work with young people, that, you know, we're not to sort of argue them into the kingdom. You know, we can present the message and just allow God in his time by his Spirit to work in their lives and bring that transformation. So that actually takes the pressure off us. It's not all about us. Ultimately, it's all about God and what he does. I mean, the other thing that struck me just from that survey and the statistics, the fact that 3/4 of people did at least know a Christian amongst their network of family, friends and colleagues. And although not everyone is open to engaging on spiritual matters, and that's certainly true against, you know, some of the cricket guys I see on a Saturday afternoon, that there is a great opportunity there. You know, there are so many people who are open. And we have something that is just incredible news to share. There's, you know, some things that we seem very, very happy to share about how our sports teams got on, about or something in our family. Why aren't we enthusiastic about sharing the good news of Jesus? So I think there's plenty to reflect on there. It's continuing as we think on this series of the joy of the gospel. It's not always easy sharing that faith, but God uses it. So many of us have come to faith because God has worked in us and others have shared the good news and helped to bring that transformation. We're going to pray now. I'm going to ask Anita to come and lead us in some prayers as we draw towards the end of our service.